Spirit here today. God wants to move in somebody's life. Praise God. I want to turn your attention to the Word of the Lord for just a little bit. If you look up here, it's the book of Jeremiah, the 8th chapter and the 22nd verse. And any of the little ones that want to go off to Sunday school, they're going to be back there in the back, going to have a good time. Amen. All right. Amen. Sometimes little ones can be shy, but those twins are ready to go. They're ready to go. Hallelujah. That's good. That's good. No arm twist in there. Jeremiah chapter 8 and verse number 22. Jeremiah chapter 8 and verse number 22 says, "Is there no balm in Gilead?" Does anybody know what a balm is? Balm is a salve, an ointment. It's a lotion, a cream. It's something that you put on that soothes the pain, soothes the hurt. And he said, "Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered? If there is a balm there, then there's healing there." So he said, why is the health of my people not recovered? And I want to speak to you for a little while on the balm that heals. The balm that heals. Let's lift our hands one more time and love the Lord right now. Father, we thank you for your presence and for what we have already felt in this place. We ask you, Lord, to speak to us now from your word. And help us, Lord, to receive your word today and apply it to our hearts. Lord, to take it home with us, to put it to use in the precious name of Jesus Christ. And everybody say amen. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. Glory to God. Glory to God. Well, there is a good spirit here today. Last week, some of you may remember briefly, very briefly during the testimony service, I spoke a little bit about pain. Everybody say pain. Pain. And one of the things that came up during that little brief testimony, word, whatever you want to call it, was the fact that I believe, and I believe that this can be backed up with data, is that pretty much all addictions that people deal with in life can ultimately be traced back to a pain of some sort. They all can be traced back to a pain. One of the things that's been in the news a great deal lately is the opioid crisis. What ultimately happens with most people who become addicted to opioids is that they start off getting treatment for maybe a neck pain or a back pain. I've had friends of mine. I had a man who died of an overdose. He was, Brother Curry, you would remember, I'm not going to call his name today, but he was actually a great man of God. But in the course of getting treatment for various things that were going on, he became addicted to opioids. And then ultimately, whether it was accident or not, we really don't know to this day. But he ultimately overdosed and died as a result. But it started with pain. It started with pain. People do other things to escape. Some people drink to escape. They're trying to escape their surroundings, trying to escape. Maybe it's a situation where it is a woman who's in an abusive relationship, and she's trying to escape from the pain of an abusive husband. Maybe it's in, you know, someone that is just in an unhappy, loveless situation, and so they're searching for something that just for a little while is going to ease the pain. Something that's going to take away the pain for a little while. How many of you understand that there are different types of pain? There's physical pain, but there's also psychological pain. There's emotional pain. And matter of fact, in my life, I have found that some of the worst pain that I've ever experienced in my life was of a psychological or an emotional or social kind. I would almost rather deal with a physical pain than to deal with the pain of being ostracized, the pain of being ignored, the pain of being separated from your friends and people that you love and people that you care about. And so, since the beginning of time, and the Bible declares this, that since the beginning of time, man has sought various means to ease or to lessen that pain. Sister Curry mentioned it in her testimony about that emptiness that's there that God made us all with. And it's been there since the Garden of Eden. And so people try to fill that hole with various means and various things. They try to fill it with riches. They try to fill it with things. They try to fill it with relationships. Watch out now. They try to fill it with hobbies. They try to fill it with career and work and something to stay busy, just so that I don't have to think about the pain, so that I don't have to think about the hole that is there. Here's what the Apostle Paul said. He said, "For we know that the whole creation," everybody say whole creation, "groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now." In other words, everything as a result of sin is in pain of some sort. But he doesn't leave it there in verse 23. He says, not only they. In other words, not just the people outside of the church. But he said, but ourselves also, which have the first fruit of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. In other words, Paul says, pain is not something that is unique to sinners. Pain is not something that just sinners experience, but even those of us that are spirit-filled, we experience pain. We experience pain because we're born into sin, and because these bodies break down. And not just these bodies, but we experience pain because we go through a psychological trauma, and we experience pain in mind and in spirit. We can all still experience pain. But just like we can experience pain, and there are different kinds of pain, there are also different kinds of healing. As a matter of fact, I want you to read this carefully, because when we talk about the gifts of the Spirit, we read there are 9 spiritual gifts in 1 Corinthians 12. But look at what it says about healing. He says in 1 Corinthians 12 and 9, to another faith, that's one of the spiritual gifts, by the same Spirit, to another gifts, everybody say gifts, plural. Of healing by the same Spirit. Out of all the 9 spiritual gifts, this is the only one that is referred to as a plural. It is the only one that is multiple gifts. In other words, what Paul was saying is, it's gifts of healing because there are different kinds of healing. Amen. Some people may have a gift to be able to lay hands on you and pray for you and your body be healed. But there are other people that may have a gift where they can say the right words and bring healing to your spirit and to your soul. And you may need that more than you need healing in your body. Amen. And so he said there are different kinds. There are pluralities of gifts of healings. This is what Jesus said in Luke 4:18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the what? The brokenhearted. Amen. Jesus said he has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Not just the blind, not just the lame, not just the leper, but every single one whose heart has been broken. Jesus said, I have been anointed and sent to heal up their wounds. He said, I came to preach deliverance to the captives. I came to recover sight to the blind. and to set at liberty them that are bruised. Bruised, how's that? What's that got to do with liberty? You can be so bruised in spirit that you feel like you're in chains. But Jesus said, I came to set you free. I came to bring healing. I came to lift the chains of bondage off of you. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. And so he came not just to heal the sick and the blind and the lame, but he came to heal the brokenhearted. Luke 6 and 18 said they that were vexed. Everybody say they were vexed. They were vexed with unclean spirits. In other words, their minds were tormented. Their emotions were a wreck. Their psyche was messed up. They were in a mess. But the Bible said that he touched those. He came to them that were vexed with an unclean spirit, and they were healed. And the whole multitude sought to touch him, for there went virtue out of him and healed them all. Hallelujah. I want you to know, when the master steps into the room, virtue is in the house. When the master steps into the room, I don't care what your circumstances are. I don't care what you've gone through. I don't care what you're going through right now. When the healer is in the house, you can be set free of whatever has got you bound. Hallelujah. And so just like there is a physical healing, there's also sometimes we need a healing of the mind. Some of the hardest situations I've ever dealt with in the church as a pastor were not physical ailments, but they were mental ailments, and they were situations where people were bound up in their mind, and they were struggling with discouragement and depression and defeat. But I want you to know that depression can be healed. Somebody say amen. Discouragement can be healed. Mental illness can be healed. Hallelujah. The Bible said, it didn't say when Jesus moved among them that he just healed some, but it said that everybody that came in contact with the master was healed. He healed them all. He still heals today. He still heals today. He still heals today. I said he still heals today. Hallelujah. And when Jesus moved among the people, he touched them and he healed them all. And he realized that everywhere he encountered depression, and everywhere that he encountered discouragement, in other words, everywhere that he encountered pain, I said everywhere he encountered pain, he cut right to the root of it. He went right to the source. And he said, hey sister, ma'am, your problem is that you've got a spirit. I'm not being critical of you. I'm not saying that Jesus wasn't saying that in order to tear them down, but he had to get to the root of the problem before he could build them back up. And what he was saying is, what you need to understand, that your oppression comes from a spirit. Your depression comes from a spirit. And I am the master. I am the maker of the wind. I am the maker of the sea. I am the creator. And I'm able to heal you of whatever has come your way and whatever has you bound. Hallelujah. Jesus understood it was spirits. It was spirits. It was spirits. Hallelujah. I said it was a spirit. Some of you need to learn how to say, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When you feel yourself getting discouraged, when you feel yourself getting depressed, when you feel yourself getting defeated, listen, we all go through that from time to time. I'm not immune to that. Brother Gray's not immune to that. Every person in this building faces that at some time or the other. But you've got to learn how to say, you know what? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. I'm going to rebuke the enemy, because it's not the will of God that my mind be in turmoil. It's not the will of God that I be depressed. It's not the will of God that I be discouraged. But God wants me to be encouraged. He wants me to be lifted up. Say it right now in Jesus' name. I rebuke my discouragement.
Say, I rebuke my depression. Say, I rebuke my defeat. I rebuke it in the name of Jesus. Say, I am victorious. Say, I am victorious. Say, I am victorious. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I am victorious. I am victorious. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. I am victorious. I am victorious. In the name of Jesus. Come on, let's worship the Lord right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I am victorious. I am victorious in the name of Jesus. You can be seated. See, you got to understand, folks, not every demonic attack in your life is demonic possession. More often than not, it's demonic oppression. More often than not, it's the enemy has decided to camp out in your mind. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is a man of God right here. I'm going to tell you something. I rebuke the enemy right now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. You are a man of God. In the name of Jesus. 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 Hallelujah. Don't let the enemy tell you that you're defeated. Don't let the enemy tell you that you're through. Don't let him tell you that you're finished. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Come on, let's love him for a moment. Love him for a moment. We all need healing. We all need healing from time to time. Sometimes we need healing. Sometimes we need healing from the pain of a past relationship. Somebody say amen. Listen what the Lord said in Jeremiah. He said, I will restore health unto thee. And I will heal thee of thy wounds, saith the Lord, because they called thee an outcast. Because somebody turned their back on you. Because somebody else gave up on you. God said, because you have been called an outcast, I will heal you. He loves outcasts. Hallelujah. But there's also a healing for the circumstances in your life. How many of you understand that the Old Testament farmers, that the Old Testament men were largely farmers? Y'all understand that? That's what they did. Their life depended upon the land. If they had a bad growing season, it could mean death to their family. If the land didn't produce, it could mean a bad situation for them because it was their livelihood. It was how they depended on sustenance. They needed a healthy land. And here's what God said to them. He said, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Everybody say, heal their land. Now, I know that most of us today are not farmers. I know though that even though we're not farmers, we're surrounded by circumstances. Amen. Sometimes negative. Sometimes those circumstances are the result of bad choices that we have made in life. And sometimes our circumstances are what they are because we have sowed the wrong seed into the wrong field. Oh, hallelujah. The Bible says you reap what you sow. And sometimes we find that the field is not producing what we want it to produce. Years later, we find the effects of sowing into the wrong seed coming home to roost in our lives. But here's the good news. You may need your land to be healed. And God said, all I need you to do, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, I'm able to reach down and touch that land. I'm able to heal your land. I'm able to heal your job. I'm able to heal your car. I'm able to heal your family. I'm able to heal your circumstances, whatever they are. I'm able to touch them and heal them. So some of you need your land to be healed. Some of you need your environment to be healed. You say, but I'm where I am because of bad decisions I made. It don't matter. He said, if you'll humble yourself and pray, I can heal your environment. I can heal your land. I can heal. I can heal where you're living. I can come to where you are. Lose your pride. Stop thinking only about yourself. He said, seek my face. Turn from your wicked ways. Repent. Turn from your wicked ways. And he said, I will heal your land. But you know that because pain comes in so many forms, how many of you understand that our words have an effect? We need to learn to be careful about what we say and how we say it. Proverbs 12:18, there is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword. But the tongue of the wise is health. Do you know your words can either cut like a sword or they can soothe like an ointment? They can be a balm that heals, or they can be a sword that cuts. Now listen to me, folks. Don't get me wrong. I believe in and I love and I appreciate the Word of God. I've got everything on my tablet nowadays, so that'll have to do for the Word of God. It's all there. I got multiple translations there. I got it all right there. But I'm going to tell you something, folks. All my life I've heard people say, and it's true, and sometimes we need this, but people love to quote the Word, and the Word says, the Word of God is quick, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. Piercing to the dividing asunder of soul and spirits, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. And how many of you understand and agree and believe that we need the Word to cut into us from time to time? But I'm afraid that there have been too many times that there are people who look forward to cutting into somebody else with the Word. I've heard people brag about it before. And sometimes you need the knife, but sometimes you need healing words. And there are many that are too quick to use the sword of the Spirit when the healing balm would work better. Amen. A doctor chooses the treatment for a patient. Brother Curry, when a doctor's choosing treatment, the first thing the doctor does is not march in and say, we're going to split you open. And we're going to just dig in there and see what we can find. You know what he does? A good doctor and a wise doctor says, let's try everything else first. Before we get invasive, before we start chopping up, let's choose that as a last resort. We're going to dig in if we have to, but that's going to be a last resort. You know what he's going to do? He's going to say, first, let's change your diet. Let's try this medicine. Let's try that medicine. Maybe we can fix this without cutting you open. But there are too many people in the church who their first response is, let's split him open. Let's dig around and see what we can find in there. Am I telling the truth? And they don't care what damage they do in the process. And they say, well, that's the Word of God. It's going to split you wide open. But you know what? Let me tell you something. Jesus used the Word. But you know who he reserved the Word for? Hear me now. He reserved the Word. He reserved that piercing sword of the Spirit that cut people wide, split their heads wide open. He reserved that for the hypocritical church folks. And he pulled no punches on them. And he unloaded the Word on them. But when they brought to him a woman that was taken in adultery, and she laid down at his feet and had been thrown there like a piece of meat, and he was God manifest in the flesh. He was the Word in flesh. And he had every right to cut her open with his words. He had every right to chop her into mincemeat with his words. But all he said, he didn't quote Deuteronomy to her. He didn't quote Leviticus to her. He didn't quote all of the various Old Testament regulations and rules, and every one of them was true, and he was God, so he had every right to quote every one of them if he wanted to. But what he saw was that what she needed was not to be split open with the Word, with the sword of the Spirit, but what she needed was a healing balm. And so instead of him cutting her in half, he looked at her and said, where are your accusers? She said, I have none, Lord. He said, neither. Neither do I condemn thee. Just go and sin no more. You've already suffered enough. You've already been cut open enough. There's enough people who've dug inside of you. I don't have to dig anymore. I don't have to cut anymore. I'm here to sew you up and to heal you and put you back together. There'll be people in your life, if you ever stumble, mark it down. It's sad to say, but there'll be people even in the church, it's sad to say, who will always think you haven't been cut enough. Oh, yeah. If I just get a hold of him, I cut him wide open. I'd tear him up. If I could just have Shane, I'd split him wide open because he needs to hear the word of God. You know what I've always likened it to? I've always likened it to people that'll come by. They can tell you what's wrong with you, but they can't tell you how to make it right. And it's like running across somebody who's been in an automobile accident and they're bleeding to death on the side of the highway. And you come up to them, and this is how some church folks do. They come up to that person bleeding to death on the side of the highway and they say, "Yep, guess what? You're bleeding to death. I just want to make sure you know you're bleeding to death. It's my job to preach to you that you're bleeding to death. And you already know you're bleeding to death. You already know you've done wrong. You already know you've sinned. You know that you have failed. You're laying there and you're hurting and you're in pain. And what you need is not another Pharisee to come up and tell you you're bleeding to death. What you need is somebody to come up and say, "Hey, brother, listen, we got to get these wounds bound up because we're bleeding to death right now. But I'm here to help you. The Lord sent me to help you. And so we're going to bind up the wounds and we're going to sew you up and we're going to put you back together. And we're going to put a bomb on you." Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. 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 When Jesus saw people that were hurting and in pain, you know, when he cut the Pharisees, it was because they had years of rebellion. Deep, their problem was deep-rooted. He had to cut deep to get it out. But when he saw hurting people and people that were in pain, Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly, and you'll find rest for your souls." Amen. I believe that in the spirit world, the knife should be reserved for the rebellious. Let me say that again. I don't know if y'all heard that or not. I believe in the spirit world, the knife should be reserved for the rebellious. The knife is for the mockers. The knife is for the blasphemers. But the hurting don't necessarily need the knife. Sometimes they need a healing balm. They need a healing balm. Lift your hands and your voices to the Lord. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. 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 Glory to God. Glory to God. James 5 and 16, it's a familiar passage of Scripture. Familiar passage of Scripture. James said, "Is any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." We tend to read that phrase, it says, that you may be healed, as though the healing comes directly from God. Don't misunderstand me, folks. I know that God is the healer. I know none of us has the power in and of ourselves to heal. But I also submit to you this day that there is a healing spirit in each one of us. If you've been filled with the Holy Ghost, there is a healing balm. There's a healing spirit in us. And God chooses to heal through his body. I said he chooses. He chooses to heal through his body. How do I know that? Because he didn't say, "Is there any sick among you? Let him fall down on his face and cry out to God and he'll be healed." No. He said, "Is there any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church."
Could God heal you without the elders? He could. But he chooses to do it through the church, through the body. He said, let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him. Anointing him with oil. You know what that anointing? That anointing with oil is that balm. Did you know when the good Samaritan picked up the man that had been beaten on the side of the road? The Bible said he poured oil into his wounds. And so in James he said, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if you have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. But he said that you are to confess your faults one to another and pray one for another. God heals, but he does it through the interaction of the body. He does it through the interaction of the body. Hallelujah. Don't underestimate the power that we have in each one of us and the power that we have through the Spirit of God. But he wants to heal somebody today. Would you stand with me right now? Hallelujah. I don't care what pain you've got. I don't care what your circumstances are. I know that he is a healer. Hallelujah. Raise your hands and love him right now. I need healing. Does anybody need healing today? Hallelujah. If you need healing, I want you to make your way down here to the front as they play and sing something for us softly. We're going to pray with you and for you. If you've got the Holy Ghost, why don't you come down here and help pray for somebody right now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Come on, these altars are open right now for a moment. Hallelujah. Come on, I need my elders. Let's bind together and help pray for some of these folks.